All right, here we go, back at it. I am your host and nurse, Leticia, finding identity, a healing journey. We are back at it. My purpose and my why is to help others heal. I am here to help you heal from past hurt, past pain. Life is too short for us to be sitting in pain, sitting in our mess, and just reliving our trauma. So as a nurse, my mission in life is to help people heal and lead better lives. This is the healing journey. We are continuing our study on adult children of emotionally immature parents, how to heal from distant, rejecting, and self-involved parents by Dr. Lindsay Gibson. Again, this is not to bash any parents. I love parents. I am a parent. I love my parents. This is not to bash any parent. This is not to bash you. This is here to help us assess and realize and become aware of the pain and the trauma that we have in our lives and where did it stem from. That is part of healing. A part of healing is understanding, why am I this way? Where did my pain come from? So let's go. Let's dive in and continue our study. Last week, we talked about the traits of immaturity, the traits of immature people. Now, again, we are assessing ourselves first. Last week, we talked about rigid and stiff neck. If you haven't heard that one, go back to it. That was the first trait of immature people. They are rigid and stiff-necked. Today, we are going to talk about how immature people have low stress tolerance. She says, emotionally immature people don't deal with stress well. I get it. None of us deal with stress well. But when she's talking in this aspect, we are talking about how they overreact to stress, how we let stress overtake us, and then we can't think properly. She goes on to say their responses are reactive and stereotyped. Instead of assessing the situation and anticipating the future, they use coping mechanisms that deny, distort, or replace reality. Listen to this. Oh, I'm stressed. I need to go have a drink. I need to go smoke. I need to go do these things. I want to fight somebody. I want to punch a wall. Those are unhealthy ways of dealing with stress is what she's talking about. They have a low stress tolerance that deny, distort, or replace reality. We become so stressed that we have blinders on that we cannot face the reality of what's really going on. And in that case, we can't think properly. We can't think rationally because we have a low stress tolerance. She says they have trouble admitting mistakes and instead discount the facts and blame others. Well, she made me do it. If he would have been home, I wouldn't have done that. Well, if they would have did this, if my parents would have done this, low stress tolerance. We blame others. Regulating emotions is difficult for them and they often overreact. Once they get upset, it's hard for them to calm down and they expect other people to soothe them by doing what they want. You see the manipulation in the game in this because of low stress tolerance. Now I am immature because I blame others and I expect them to do what I want. They often seek comfort in intoxicants or medications. Oh, I can't deal with distress. I need a drink. I can't deal with distress. I need a smoke. I can't deal with distress. I need to punch somebody. Low stress tolerance. Now, you know how this goes. I have this scripture for you. 1 Peter 5:6-7. It says, humble yourselves before God under the mighty hand of God that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your cares and anxieties on him because he cares for you. Let me repeat that. 1 Peter 5:6-7 tells me how to deal with stress. The first way I deal with stress is I need to humble myself. Wait a minute. Calm down, Leticia. What is going on right now? Am I going to react humbly or am I going to react pridefully? This is take some work, guys. I'm going to react humbly. If my husband says, I forgot to get bread from the store, am I going to go off on him because I'm mad because he didn't get what I wanted? Or am I going to humbly say, it's no big deal. Will he get some more bread tomorrow? That is a big stress tolerance. When you have a low stress tolerance, every little petty thing gets under your skin and you don't give people grace. I gave my husband grace because he forgot to get bread from the store. It's not the end of the world. That's the first step. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Once you humble yourself, he will lift you up in due time. In due time. It won't happen overnight. It won't happen in the same hour all the time. And he says, in due time, it's going to happen. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So you mean to tell me if I humble myself and I wait because in due time he's going to lift me up and then I cast my cares unto him and my anxieties unto him, I can have a higher stress tolerance. I'm reminded of the story of Moses. Moses was leading the children out of the children of Israel out of bondage and into the promised land. God told Moses in Exodus 17, he said, Behold, I stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and people will drink it. Moses did it. The people were mumbling and complaining and still griping because, again, they were rigid, stiff-necked people. Mumbling, complaining, I'm thirsty, Moses, I'm tired. The people have so many anxieties. And they placed their anxieties on Moses. And then Moses' stress tolerance became low. Moses' stress tolerance decreased. Moses asked God, okay, and God told him, okay, Moses, I'm gonna put some water in the rock, strike the rock. Moses did it. Later on, God told Moses to speak to the rock. The children of Israel were still complaining. We thirsty, we thirsty, we thirsty. We don't have enough. The children of Israel were still complaining, and God tells Moses to speak to the rock, promising to make water flow in the desert again. However, Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to it. God told Moses the first time to speak to the rock, to strike the rock. I'm sorry. The first time God told Moses to strike the rock, Moses struck the rock, water came out. Moses was still stressed again because these people were mumbling and complaining. We thirsty again, Moses. We have nothing to eat. Honey, we don't have enough money. Murmuring and complaining. You're not doing enough for me. Oh, my kids suck. Murmuring and complaining. We miss what God is telling us because we're murmuring and complaining. Then our stress tolerance goes down because of murmuring and complaining. Moses fell into the trap of murmuring and complaining with the Israelites. He didn't set them in place. He didn't set an order. He didn't cast those cares unto God, like the scripture says. And God told Moses to speak to the rock. But Moses struck the rock instead. Think about that. When we are murmuring and complaining, when our stress levels are high, when our stress tolerance is low, we miss what God is saying. We miss what God is saying because we think he's saying the same thing that he said last season. God said, strike the rock the first time. The second time, God said, speak to the rock. But because Moses got caught up and entangled in all the murmuring and complaining, he got confused or he didn't obey what God is telling him to do. God said, speak to the rock the second time, Moses. And because Moses struck the rock instead, God told Moses that he will no longer be permitted to bring in the people into the promised land. Listen to that. Because of our low stress tolerance, we can't even get into the promised land because we can't even tolerate stress. We let the world get into us. We let strife get into us. We let conflict get into us. We let pride get into us. We let the stresses of the world get into us. So now we can't get into the promised land. Guys, I love you. I am rooting for you. I am cheering you on. You may not know me. You may be listening to this and say, this person doesn't even know me. But I promise you, I love you. I have been there. I know what it's like feeling like I'm never going to get into this promised land. I know what it's like feeling like I'm never going to accomplish this goal. I'm never going to heal from this. I know what it's like having to bury a loved one and feeling incomplete, like you have a hole in your soul. But when you cast all your cares unto him, when you humble yourself and you cast all your anxieties unto him, you will see the promised land. This is the healing journey. Come on, guys. Take the step. Love God. Love others. Embrace and engage with other people to say, this is where I am on the healing journey. I need your help. Inbox me, email me, let me know, hey, I want to take this healing journey. I have a course, a 5-star course, an intimate course that I do with young adults and older adults that helps with the healing journey. Engage in those conversations that will help you heal. Accept and affirm that you are made for more. And determined that I'm going to set time aside for myself. I deserve it. I'm worth it. This is the healing journey where we love God, lead well, and live intentionally. Stay tuned.